because Brian can't remember a damn
thing. Maybe someone
thing.
Is telling me on Twitter. Maybe they're helping me.
Coming up in an hour, we're going to have the fourth two-time Super Bowl champion on our show this week. There's been four of them. Brian can't remember two of them. He knows Terrell Davis is today. He knew that Justin Tuck happened this week. He was in studio with us.
Yes.
There's two other guys.
This week?
This week, who won two Super Bowls that were on with us. And you can't remember either one of them.
Hassan Abubakar.
No, it wasn't him. It wasn't
Hassan
him either.
Hassan Abubakar?
No.
Man, that dude has some muscles. Wow. You think Justin Tuck was built.
Do you give up already?
I do.
All right.
I'm serious. I can't recall.
Christian Fourier.
Oh, Christian. Yes.
Yeah. And Howard Griffith.
Oh, Griff. Damn.
That's pretty bad.
That is pretty bad.
Because you know both those guys pretty well.
Yeah, both those are my boys.
Yeah.
Even though Christian was lying his ass off trying to protect the Red Sox.
He was, but he still won two Super Bowls.
Damn.
And he was on the show.
That's sad.
That is sad that you didn't remember either one of those guys.
Media icon.
He said media icon. He didn't say memory icon.
Yeah, that is.
Media icon.
That is true. You're a little distracted right now because you wanted to spit in the face of the no parking sign this morning. I took the smart way out and decided to move my car. You decided to leave your car there.
Well, I saw you parked there, and then I said, well, G can do it, I can do it.
But then you saw me move.
I didn't see you move.
Yes, you did, because we had a conversation about
it. That was you?
You're lying about this now, like Christian Fourier. So you saw me move the car, and you decided not to move the car, and now you're in a panic. You're trying to see if the car's still there.
Well, I told our boy, security extraordinaire, Cooper... Or is it Cooper? What's his name? Cooper.
No, I don't know what the hell his name is because I can't understand anything he says.
Coop and Calhoun, C&C. The two C&Cs. I told Coop, hey, man, let me know if they try to tow my car. Stop it.
Yeah.
I said, I'm CBS Sports Radio. CBS Radio? CBS Sports Radio. CBS Radio. No, my father, CBS Sports Radio. 10th floor.
It's amazing that this man went on a job interview.
And got it.
And someone said, you know what? Your communication skills suffice for this. So now Mikey B is scrambling to try to get this guy on the phone.
I'm just going to go down there and have him call up to you guys.
Okay. All right. Because we need
Good
to know
luck with that.
Because Brian needs to know about
it. Peek out the door, man. Make sure the vehicle's there.
Yeah. And just, we got to make sure that this coop understands your instructions. Because I could see him looking at the car being towed and be like, oh, damn, so a car getting towed. And not realizing that you told him to tell you if a car gets towed. So we'll see if we can get Coop on the line. In the meantime, big weekend of college football. You got Auburn and Clemson. You've got Oklahoma, Ohio State. A little bit of drama, though, out there amongst coaches. How about Urban Meyer getting really upset? And I'm confident saying that he sounded really annoyed, but rather, I shouldn't say upset, really annoyed by comments that you got really annoyed at from Tom Herman.
Yep.
So the comment from Herman was that you can't just sprinkle some fairy dust on this team and think that we've arrived. So you hated that because you knew that that wasn't going to happen, but they also got pushed around and then gave up 51 points.
Right.
So Urban Meyer said that he's tired of hearing first-year coaches complain about the players they inherit, saying it drives him, quote, insane.
Yes.
He goes, it's like a new generation of excuse. Tom Herman said, I can't rub pixie dust on this thing, and he got a dose of reality. Maryland just scored 51 points on you. So I found that very interesting that Urban Meyer would take that much of an interest and have a comment on another head coach after one game and something that he said in the postgame.
Especially a coach that was his offensive coordinator and assisted him in winning a national title.
Yep. It's his guy.
But he was spot on. You signed the deal, as Urban Meyer said, so you now own this football team. You've had 9 months to put your stamp on this team. That doesn't mean you're going to have a 12-0 season, but you've had 9 months to change the mentality. And what has been occurring there at UT is you've had Coach Herman. It seemed to me that any chance he gets, he takes a dig at the previous staff, meaning Charlie Strong, who's now at USF. Well, we've had to change this and we've had to change that. And we've had to teach these kids how to pee. Really? No, you have not. It's not like Charlie Strong left you a bunch of bad apples. He left you some kids that now really have talent, unlike what he inherited. And he didn't go around bad-mouthing Mack Brown because of what he inherited, the number of guys he had to kick off the team. He had to retool that whole roster and lean on freshmen and redshirt freshmen because he had given up on the upperclassmen who he didn't recruit. So for you to come in and now say, well, we've had to overhaul this and that, and they were used to losing, and I mean, it was too much. And now that culminates in the comments of sprinkling the fairy dust. Well, no one expects you to come in, sprinkle fairy dust, and go 12-0. But they also didn't expect you to have a team that was going to be pushed around in the manner in which they were pushed around. So I was glad to see Coach Meyer echo my sentiments and other people's sentiments, surprised that he named names.
All right, we're going to get back to the story in a second, but I know that this is very important to you. So we have gotten the security guard downstairs, Coop, who is in charge of watching mm-hmm. your car to make sure it's not going to get towed out of the no parking zone. He is on the phone right now.
Okay.
Coop, it's Greg and Brian upstairs. How you doing this morning, man?
Oh, fine.
Okay.
How's my car doing?
Fine.
Oh, okay, good. All right.
We're looking out for you.
You looking out for me?
Yeah.
All right. You know which car is mine, the white one?
Yeah, I know which one you're on.
All right. You know which one you're on?
You come in the morning, fly man.
I come in what?
I call you fly man.
Fly man? Why is that?
Because you're the man. That's why.
Oh, because wow. I'm fly. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Koopa, when does your shift end? You're going to be here until at least 9 o'clock?
No, I get off at 8.
Oh, okay. So are you going to be able to tell the next person that comes in to do the same thing?
Yes.
Okay, all right, good.
All right. Where's your boy Calhoun?
Right here. You want to speak to him?
No, put Calhoun. You want to speak to Calhoun, too?
Put Calhoun on
okay.
the phone.
Okay, yeah. Hold on.
All right.
Yeah. Man. Calhoun. Hold on, man. Hold on a second.
He's right next to you. How long you got to hold on?
I say right next to you. How long you got to hold on?
What?
We just...
Is that English?
Well, your car didn't get towed this morning. Thank God.
I know. You're going to look
your
out for it.
Your car didn't get towed this morning.
You would tackle the person that was trying to tow it, right?
No, I was going to make sure you look out for me and bring me a cup of coffee once in a while.
Bring you a cup of coffee. Okay, what do you want in your coffee?
So Starbucks.
I said, what do you want in your coffee?
What I want in? Record coffee.
All right. We got you, Coop. Is Calhoun there?
Yeah, Calhoun's here.
Well, let us speak to him.
Calhoun, you want to speak to me just a minute? he sent an email to somebody who went offline on the billing.
All right.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks, Coop.
All right, Coop. Watch that car, Coop.
Keep watching the car. I got you some coffee.
Here,
Calhoun, what's happening?
Everything's great.
Great. Good, man. I just wanted to make sure your boy Coop was paying attention to my vehicle outside. I didn't want to be towed.
Yeah, he did a fine job, man. He spent almost 5 minutes over there watching the car. I wonder, might say, what's he doing out there? I said, Coop, what's going on? He said, well, he did that job for you.
Oh, okay. Sweet.
Sounds good, Calhoun.
Yeah.
All right, man. Who do you like in the NFL this week? You got a pick? You think the Giants are going to beat the Cowboys?
Oh, sure they're going to beat them. Okay. Then we have them 3-1.
All right, very good. That's Calhoun and Coop. We appreciate it, guys. You feel better now?
Yes.
You got those two guys?
I got those two, and they would scare any tow truck guy away because he wouldn't know what the hell they were saying. All right, okay, I won't tow it. Just stop talking to me.
Coop and Calhoun.
See, Britt McHenry should have taken that tack. She should have hired those two.
Seriously.
Yeah, instead of the other route she took.
You know what we need to do is we should add Coop and Calhoun to our picks this year. To see if they can beat us. So it'll be me against you, of course. We'll have that. But then also add Coop and Calhoun. They pick 3 NFL games every week, too.
You think they follow NFL?
Well, that would make it even better.
Okay. And they'd probably end up winning.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Coop and Calhoun.
All right. All right, Mikey B, you're in charge of that.
Yeah, get their picks every week.
Knock yourself out. I try to walk as fast as I can coming into the building because I have no idea what they're saying.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I barely pay attention. I can't. I just can't. You know, I don't have time for anything in the morning but getting ready for the show. All right. So the Urban Meyer, Tom Herman thing, not the only coaching drama that happened. The other one, a former coach and a current colleague of yours,
yeah,
and Mark Richt down in Miami, a little bit of a spat between the two of them, as Rick Neuheisel on ESPN U Radio,
which is now part of Sirius XM.
Sirius XM. He said that, I'm not saying that in regards to Miami canceling the game against Arkansas State, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being safe, Neuheisel said, but FAU is traveling to Wisconsin this week. FIU changed their home game with Alcorn State to travel to Birmingham and play. South Florida's traveling to Connecticut to play. Central Florida's playing on Friday night, and Florida moved their game up to play Northern Colorado at noon, Neuheisel said. I get it, but this is suspicious. You don't want to play the game, and they're not making it up. Just to say you're not playing, especially when it's not in Miami. If the Dolphins were on the road this week, they'd be playing in the NFL. I understand safety. I'm going to defer to the calmer and wiser heads that know the path of Irma. But this, to me, looked like you didn't want to play the game. End quote. Yeah. Mark Richt went to Twitter, and he said, to set the record straight, we have not practiced since Tuesday, and we won't till everyone gets back in town after this, all caps, Category 5 hurricane. We haven't met as a team or a staff. The safety of our players and staff and the ability for them to be with the family is our priority. Very sad. He went Trump with this one. Very sad.
Oh, yes, he is. He is sad.
Very sad to read some of the comments of some football fans and some members of the media believing we had some other motive. You family. So, which side are you on?
Now, Rick made these comments prior to all the other schools there canceling their games, and whether they had canceled them or not. Why in the hell would Miami be afraid of Arkansas State? Because Arkansas State just played Nebraska fairly close. The quarterback threw for over 400 yards in that game versus Nebraska in Lincoln. Why the hell would they be afraid of Arkansas State? They are a team that's just outside the top 10. They are a team that a lot of people see trending upwards. I got them as a sleeper to win the ACC. Why would they be afraid of the Red Wolves? They have no reason to be afraid of the Red Wolves. Mark Richt has played in some of the biggest games when he was at Georgia in the SEC. This makes no sense. This is nonsensical, Rick.
Yeah.
They're not afraid.
Yeah.
Why would they be afraid? Half the damn team lives in Liberty City. They're not afraid of some folks in Arkansas.
Why would you be afraid of the Red Wolves?
Why?
You said it best.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, a good football team or a solid football team, but Miami's not afraid of them. Well, I'm surprised that Miami was even going to Arkansas to take them on. You would think the Red Wolves would be coming to Miami. You
know, I mean, if anything, it makes it easier to say, okay, this is a game we don't need to play.
Right.
I mean, they're not afraid of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, all right, we got to put this ahead of that. And it's surprising to me that it's Rick Neuheisel saying this, because this is a guy who understands the logistics of running a program. Because it's not just, and they haven't practiced, because they're dealing with everything else. They're trying to get out of there. There's family. He's got a gazillion players to worry about, the facility. I mean, they're right in the path of this unprecedented storm.
Yeah.
You got to worry about that stuff.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And it's odd to me, because Rick's really, really smart, and he's not someone who just tosses stuff out there to get controversial comments out there. He said this because I think he believes it, and I'm surprised that he believes it. And I don't know if he's got a history with Richt or something, but this was an odd one, and I'm kind of happy that Mark Richt responded, too, and said, come on.
Right. Yeah, we're just outside the top 10. We're not afraid to go take on Arkansas State. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, we're right in the path to this damn thing.
All right, coming up next, hate mail to Kevin Sumlin. That is disgusting. And more.
No, we're post-racial, dude.
Yeah, of course. And we are also going to talk about some of these big games, get you ready for a huge weekend in college football. Don't forget Terrell Davis, 45 minutes as well on the show. Keep it right here.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Like, what is Coop going to do if an NYPD tow truck comes?
He's going to start talking. And he's going to say, okay, cool. Yeah. That's how you, We're going to leave the car alone.
No, that's not what's going to happen.
Lee Coop.
Oh, you the man.
Because you the man. I call you Fly Man because you the man.
Oh, you the man.
Oh, man. There my guardian angel.
Coop keeping the car safe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Oh, it's sunny outside now.
I always forget that. I was like, damn.
When we're up here, it's
in the dungeon over here.
It's an odd thing. Okay. Andrew Bogish is with us. He's got a sports update. But we first need to make sure that all the racing fans know what's going on. The road ahead is brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. This weekend's race is at Richmond Raceway for the Federated Auto Parts 400.
Yeah, right.
I just got federated, and it was so good. One more time, Pete. Come on. One more time for good luck.
Pete, come on. Hit it.
One more.
Man, just don't know how good that feels.
Nobody can hear you when you whisper like that, brother.
It feels so good.
The listeners have no chance of hearing you.
That feels so good.
And nobody, no, the stuff he's saying can't be hurt. Just read the damn, who you like in the race.
I'm in a state of phantasmagoria.
Oh, my gosh.
You can't rush ecstasy, okay?
The road ahead is brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. This weekend's race is at Richmond Raceway for the Federated Auto Parts 400.
Richmond Raceway, short track racing, D-shaped track there in Virginia. It's going to be fun.
It's a what?
D-shaped.
How's that?
D-shaped track. In Virginia.
Finish the read, will ya? Why is it so hard for you?
It makes you so
hold on, I got you covered.
That's what a D-shaped track looks like.
Stop. Try and finish the read, man.
It's got a tough couple turns at the bottom.
Who do I think will win at the D-shaped track? Joey Logano. That's your guy. Denny Hamlin. My man, Matt Kenseth. There you go.
I like it when you throw Logano in there for me.
I know you do.
Makes me feel
good. I got it right last week. Who did I pick? Whoever I picked won last week.
You do this every week. Every week I got it right. You don't remember who it was. And then everybody believes you because nobody's there to check it because nobody remembers, including you.
Oh, you the man.
Advance Auto Parts introduces Speed Perks. Spend $100. You get $20 off your next qualified purchase. No cards to carry, no points to keep track of, no nonsense.
I'm telling you, I won last week at Darlington.
I believe you, all right, because you are good at those prognostications.
When you're picking five names, increasing your chances.
Three names.
I thought the Pats or the Chiefs were going to win last night, so boom.
You're a hater, dude.
You know so that? It was.
You know Jackie Robinson.
Or Mariano Rivera.
Mario Rivera.
Wachowski.
So it was almost 14-0. Then it was 17-7. Then the Patriots got outscored 35-10 over the final 33 minutes of opening night in Foxborough. Alex Smith led five touchdown drives over KC's final nine possessions before running out the 42-27 victory. Then pretended like he didn't care.
I think opening days in general. There's so much emotion, there's so much buildup, anticipation that sometimes you forget that it's just 1-16.
Smith threw for 368 yards and four touchdowns. Rookie Kareem Hunt ran for 148 and caught for 98 with three scores to give the Pats their first loss at Gillette when they led at halftime. But it wasn't all good news for Andy Reid's Chiefs. All-pro safety Eric Berry may have suffered a torn Achilles.
I don't think that's positive here. Who knows? We'll see what the MRI shows.
Patriots linebacker Dante Hightower injured a knee. Wideout Danny Amendola suffered a concussion. The NFL is reportedly suspending free agent kicker Josh Brown an additional six games for domestic violence involving his now ex-wife. Brown was initially suspended one game when he was a Giant, but the league reopened its investigation after the King County, Washington sheriff released new documents in the case back in October. Not even Clayton Kershaw can get the Dodgers right, allowing a three-run homer in the first to Nolan Arenado. Manager Dave Roberts then had to pull Kershaw in the fourth.
When he took the mound today, we expected to win. And even after that first inning, I felt that we'd have a chance to get to Gray, but he was pretty good tonight.
The Rockies won 9-1. John Gray allowed just that one run over six. The Dodgers have dropped seven straight and 12 of 13. Cleveland's win streak is 15 after rolling the White Sox 11-2. The NBA said it'd be considering changing the lottery to make it less beneficial to tank. It would be harder to get the number one pick for the worst teams. The better ones in the lottery would have a better chance of moving up. The competition committee expected to vote next week on sending a proposal to the Board of Governors. This would take effect with the 2019 draft. Florida State has canceled tomorrow's game with Louisiana Monroe after initially moving up kickoff because of Hurricane Irma. And Sloane Stephens with a three-set win over Venus Williams. Then Madison Keys knocked off Coco Vandeweghe in straight sets. In the U.S. Open women's semifinals last night, Stevens and Keys in a slam final for the first time in their career. They'll play tomorrow afternoon. Guys?
All right, Pogish, thanks. We talked about Kevin Sumlin and the member of the Board of Regents of Texas A&M.
Mr. Busby.
Busby with the Facebook post. We wanted him out.
I didn't want to do this, but I had to.
Yeah, well, it got worse from there. And Charlene Sumlin, Kevin's wife, posted some hate mail on Twitter, and the hate mail read, "You suck as a coach, you're an N-word and can't win, please get lost or else." And of course, naturally, the first thing that you go to is the "or else," because that right there is a threat. I mean, this isn't just a letter that to make someone feel bad. I mean, now it's a threatening thing and has to be dealt with in that manner. But to show this person's mentality, which clearly is one of ignorance and insanity and disgusting personality, but you're an N-word and can't win. It's like almost like, well, if you did win and you were still an N-word, like right. I'd be able to deal with that. But yeah. You can't win and you're also an N-word, so this really is unacceptable for me.
So, we'll tolerate black as long as you can help keep my money and my team in the black. How about that?
But if you're not, then this is really, really bad.
You're even worse. And welcome to America, post-racial, right? And the coward, put your name on it, you coward. Show us who you are. But he's not going to do that, or she's not going to do that. And then to threaten the man, just ridiculous. I'm glad she posted it. It's stupid, and it's dumb, but it's the world we live in, and I'm not surprised. And I won't be surprised if she gets more of it, or coach gets more of it.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, this is what you almost come to expect. And to see someone directly affected by it and to post it and say, and to the sender, did it occur to you that a child may open it? I mean, it probably did, and they probably were rooting for that. Because whatever the worst possible outcome for the Sumlin family was, was the cause of this letter is what the person who wrote it wanted. So,
do you think they're worried about his children seeing that? No, they couldn't care less about his children seeing that. Because they assigned that same epithet to his children.
Yeah.
So they don't give a damn about his children seeing that.
Did you see the Jason Whitlock tweet?
Yeah. This dude, Steven.
I mean,
he just doesn't get it.
It was a skit that was supposed to run on his show on Fox Sports 1. And the dude, remember Kid and Play, the rap group Kid and Play?
Yeah.
So the guy who played Kid and Play is dressed up as Colin Kaepernick. And he's wearing a black glove, raising a fist. He's got a Kaepernick jersey on. He's wearing a fake afro and beard. And Jason Whitlock is standing next to him with an apron holding a football. And Jason Whitlock says, "Great to have Cap stop by the studio today." And the skit after this tweet went out was canned. Shannon Sharp went nuts, who also works for Fox Sports 1.
Don Cheadle, who was there to fight with you, went nuts.
I mean, it's just... I mean, I don't know what he's trying to prove, Jason Whitlock. I know you've had a big problem with him for a long time, but...
He's trying to prove that he's not comfortable in his black skin, it seems to me. because he always takes the contrarian side of the argument. And it's just amazing, as if LeBron James can't be affected by racism. Any athlete can't be affected by racism. Colin Kaepernick has alternative ulterior motives when it comes to his protests. No, he doesn't. The man has told you what he's protesting, and you still can't see it. And it's amazing. Someone of his girth doesn't believe that fat makes grease. I mean, it's just asinine to me that he goes out of his way to push back. We had him on the show to talk about what was going on there in Missouri. He was upset with Black Lives Matter and all this other, all their terrorist group, and where were they when folks in Chicago were being killed? Well, hell, the folks in Chicago are wrong. They have not been, have not taken an oath to protect and serve those who are killing folks, innocent folks there. We understand that, but that shouldn't be your default setting when we're addressing this issue. They're at Missouri, and so Missouri has paid the price for it. Colin Kaepernick, unfortunately, is paying the price for shining a light on something that's systemic in our society. And Jason Whitlock doesn't seem to get that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like these are his genuine thoughts. It seems like he has created this persona that has to go against the grain. And anytime an issue comes up, he has decided that, okay, because I need to be consistent with this, now this is the tact I need to take. And that's the worst type of stuff, because it's not genuine. Now, I would disagree with everything he said if it really came from his heart and he felt that was what it was and it was a truth. But I'd respect it a little more. Yeah. But with this, especially when you see a skit, I mean, now we're doing skits about it. Where we're
right. He thinks it's disingenuous, and it's amazing to me that he thinks that. And everything this young man, Colin Kaepernick, has lost. He's put his money where his mouth is. He's given back so much. What the hell is Jason Whitlock doing, other than, you know, going out and making a fool of himself every time this subject is brought to the forefront?
Yeah. And
I'm glad Shannon Sharp called him out, and he said he would address it on his show. I hope he does.
Yeah, and I think he might have yesterday. I didn't catch that. But, it's a terrible image when you look at it. Just, it's ridiculous. Whitlock sitting there with this grin on his face with an apron and a football. It's just it's mockery at its worst. All right, couple of big games we've been alluding to, Auburn and Clemson on Saturday night. Well, two of them, and it's something I'm not going to spend a lot of time complaining about, but the fact that both of these games are on within a half-hour kickoff of one another is just stupid.
Hate it.
I mean, we're talking about the same network, too, right? One's on ABC, one's on ESPN. Yep. I mean, what kind of sense does that make? Now, you could flip back and forth, and hopefully the commercials don't line up, and that's okay, right. But I mean, if you want to really delve into one of these games, they shouldn't be on at the same time. Anyway, moving on from that. I like Clemson in this game in a big way. I know that both of these offenses were so unbelievably impressive in their first games against inferior competition, and you'd expect both these offenses to be able to do some things. That's where I turn to the defense. And really, I think it's going to come down to Clemson's defensive front, their defensive tackles, the stars that they have there, Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, those two guys winning more battles up front to stymie the Auburn offense. I just think Clemson's a better team overall. Of course, they're ranked third as Auburn is 13th. It's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be close. I think somewhere around 30-27.
Oh, a lot of points.
Yeah, but it's going to be that. But still, it's going to be that defensive victory at some point late in the game that I think is more likely to come from Clemson than Auburn.
Yeah, that's where I start when I'm discussing this matchup. It is exactly where you started, in the trenches. You got Braden Smith, 3-year starter, offensive guard for Auburn, going up against Lawrence and Wilkins, two of the best in the game right now. So if Auburn can win up front and run the rock, which they're going to need to do, and Kerryon Johnson, not sure he's going to play. Looked like he pulled a hammy in last week's ball game versus Georgia Southern. They will get Cameron Petway back, who was their lead hog a season ago running the rock. He led the SEC in rushing yards per game. And so he's back. He was suspended last week's game along with a couple other guys, a receiver and of all things, quarterback, Sean White. Go figure there. So they get him back. But Jared Stidham, a guy who hadn't played in almost 2 years, had to shake the rust off last week. Didn't get out of the gates too good early on. Threw a pick, had a fumble. But he did run for a touchdown, threw another touchdown. But the defenses, you look at that Clemson defense, they're excellent. And Auburn's defense picked up where they left off a season ago, because last year I wasn't that high on Kevin Steele coming over as the DC, and this defense played lights out. Only allowed about 17 points a game. Last week versus Georgia Southern, which runs that option offense, they held them to 78 total yards. 78 total yards. First six drives for Georgia Southern, three and out. I think they had 10 on the night altogether. So they whipped up on that Georgia Southern offense. And now Clemson employs some of those same principles in their little zone read scheme. And Kelly Bryant, he looked the part last week going up against Kent State. And that defense held Kent State in check, as you might imagine. I think they had barely over 100 yards of total offense. So the defense is going to have to come to play. Carlton Davis in that secondary for Auburn going up against Deion Kane. And can the big boys up front, Marlon Davidson, Dontavious Russell, I believe is his last name, for Auburn, can they get to Kelly Bryant and make this guy look like a first-year starter? I'm gonna go the other way, man.
Okay.
I'm leaning towards
Auburn.
Well,
you have to because you've got Auburn being your number one team heading into college football playoff.
This is another one of those games like last week with Florida State and Alabama where they could – whoever lost that ball game wouldn't be out of the playoff picture, and this is one of those games as well. So I don't think Auburn losing this ball game knocks them out of the playoff picture at all.
Yeah, it'll be that loss to Alabama later in the year.
If that occurs.
That'll do that.
Yes.
We all know. We're coming right back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
NFL season kicked off last night with the New England Patriots getting stunned by the Kansas City Chiefs, 42-27. And it's not like the Chiefs are a bad team, clearly. I mean, they went on a run last year that was very impressive. Andy Reid, of course, has a history of having really good football teams. We know that they're talented on both sides of the ball. But to go into New England last night and to get down early and almost be down 14-0 very early, to storm back and then shut out the Pats in the fourth quarter of this game and put up 42 points on the road to rain on their parade. I mean, that was as impressive a regular season win as I have seen by this Chiefs team that does pretty damn well in the regular season. I believe the Patriots are going to be okay, but this was a take-notice game. Even though it's week one, doesn't matter. This was a take-notice game for the Kansas City Chiefs.
By far the most explosive Chiefs team I've seen in a long, long time. Tyreek Hill. You got now Hunt there at the running back position. Utilize him also in the passing game. Caught over 40 receptions last season at Toledo. Now you coupled out DeAnthony Thomas and Chris Conley and Kelsey. This is an explosive offense. And when you have Alex Smith playing like he played last night, throwing dart after dart after dart, not dinking and dunking, getting the ball down the field, they are going to be a damn good football team if they can keep this up. Defensively, came up time and time again, really big on fourth down stops. So a very impressive win on the road, going into that environment where a team is celebrating yet another Super Bowl championship, and you're able to come out with a win like that, a convincing win. They went and took that win. They didn't get lucky whatsoever. They took it to the New England Patriots, and yeah, the Patriots lose Amendola. They lose their one of the quarterbacks on the defensive side of the ball and Hightower, but the Chiefs went in, took it, and they left with a great taste in their mouth.
Yeah, and I know that he almost had that touchdown with a spectacular catch in the end zone. He's still always going to be a big target, but Gronkowski did not look great to me last night in running routes. He looked clunky. He didn't look as crisp as he usually does. That's going to be a concern. Of course, Edelman not being there. Now, Brady's going to eventually be okay with whomever is there that he's throwing the football to. But it's going to take a little bit of time because, especially if Gronkowski is not going to be the same, Edelman's not going to be there for the rest of the year. Amendola now out with a concussion. Malcolm Mitchell, who he developed a chemistry with last year late in the season, is on IR. He's not season-ending IR. He has the opportunity to come back a little bit later in the season. Dwayne Allen is new. Brandon Cooks is new. Hogan is still there, but it's gonna take him a little bit of time. He'll end up doing it, but there's no doubt that this offense was nowhere near where people expected it to be in week one when it was on its way to doing so in that first quarter.
Right.
And that's what really turned the tide for me, even though the fourth quarter was where the game was won 21-0. by the Chiefs in that fourth quarter. But and the Patriots were jumping out to that lead and were ready to roll if that Rob Gronkowski catch was actually a catch.
If that was a catch, and that's after the fumble by Hunt, so you could put this game probably out of question at that point, even though it's still early in the first quarter. But yet, the psyche of Kansas City would have been affected severely having given up the early touchdown. Then you have a subsequent fumble by the Rook Hunt. And then they New England scores again. But that didn't occur. You stop them on fourth down. Huge stop by Kansas City's defense. Eric Berry was in on that play along with Derek Johnson. And then they were off to the races. And they displayed their firepower.
Yeah, and Eric Berry, the worst of the injuries last night, at least right now. We'll see what happens with the Hightower knee. But he did get on that bike. And that was a good sign that he wasn't just in the locker room and done. Dont'a Hightower, the New England Patriots, who is their defensive captain. He was on that stationary bike. He was on the bench for the rest of the game. But Eric Berry looks like he tore his Achilles, which just stinks. If you know anything about his story, it just sucks to see that. And then Amendola with the concussion. We'll see what the timetable is on him. We were just going over our picks that we're going to make in about an hour from now, a little less than an hour from now. I'm like, I mean, even though we haven't made picks, football picks in a long time, it's like I still have like pick fatigue with it. So I was thinking,
we're just starting.
I know, but it's just because it's annoying to lose so much, and one of us ends up losing a lot. Now, last year I had a better year than you. The previous year was the worst year I've ever had picking games ever. But you want to try to pick like see who does the worst this year, like pick games, like do the opposite, and the person the person who has the worst record is the winner.
No.
Why not?
No, the person who has the worst
record. I think that's good. So you pick games. So basically you're still what you're doing is you're confident in your pick. So you're picking a team that you really think is not going to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Like really think is not going to cover. And then if you lose that, then that's actually a win. So you're just turning it around. It's a little bit of a wrinkle. I was just thinking that now. I was looking at this. Let's do it the opposite way. And see how we do.
So you're picking a team that you think is going to cover.
No. That's not going to cover.
Oh.
That's not. This team is not going to cover.
Oh.
So you're picking. You're trying to be bad.
No, you're confusing me. No.
How am I confusing you?
Because I got to pick teams to cover. I got to pick teams to win on a weekly basis.
Just flip it over. It's that easy.
I'm flipping it over.
Use some critical thinking here for 2 seconds.
I don't want to. I have too much critical thinking going on.
You go the opposite way. I don't think that this team has a shot. That's my pick. And then whoever gets the most wrong ends up being the winner. So the worst record is the best record. Huh?
No.
You'll end up winning 80% of your games.
Well, that's another part of this. That's another part of it is how funny it'll be to see us try to lose and then end up winning. What do you think? Come on. Come on, let's do something different.
Pick a team that you don't think is going to cover.
Right. This is a terrible pick that I'm making right now.
All right?
Okay.
I hate you.
All right, so I'll scratch out all these ones that I like.
I know, I gotta scratch all ones.
Well, you know what you do, though, is you just go the opposite way because those are the ones you like, right? So just now you're picking the other team.
Yeah.
See, it's as easy as that.
Okay.
It's as easy as that. And by the way, I love the Browns. Love them. +9.
All right. So we're picking a team we don't think will cover.
That's right. Yeah. What like you looked at this like, boy, I'd never pick that team in this game. That's your pick.
Okay.
Because you're trying to lose.
So I'm picking OU. I'm picking Ohio State. I'm picking Ohio State to cover.
No.
I'm picking Oklahoma not to.
Isn't that hard to figure out? You're just doing it. You're trying to lose. Is basically what it is. So. If you really didn't like the Browns this week,
yes,
you're picking the Browns to cover because you're trying to lose. Got it?
All right.
So,
I think.
So, all right.
Ohio State's up 7.5.
Who do you think's going to win?
Oklahoma.
You think Oklahoma's going to cover?
Yeah.
So you know what you need to do?
Pick
Ohio State to cover.
Right.
Because you're trying to lose. Losing is the key here.
I hate losing.
And wait, but
losing's never good.
But here, this is why this is going to be good. Because for the first time ever, losing is winning. The worst record is the best record in 2017.
Okay.
Because I'm so sick of trying to be good at this that I want to see if I can be bad at it. If I
You're such a loser.
If I try to be bad, can I be bad? Right? Is that possible in picking games?
Okay.
Sean's in Louisiana on CBS Sports
Sean,
Radio. What's up,
me.
Sean?
Hey, not much. I just wanted to call in and let you know that that's actually a funny idea.
See?
I'm going to try to do that.
All right. There you go.
My friends.
Right, good. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's start a trend here. Let's try to lose for once.
Loser.
We have so many expectations in winning these picks, Sean. Let's try to lose.
Okay.
I'm with it. Join right. the revolution.
There you go. Thanks, Sean. Sean's on
Sean,
board.
You're not helping.
Sean's on board.
Gosh.
But you know what's going to be hilarious about this, as Mikey B pointed it out, when we try to lose, we're going to win. Because when we try to win, we lose.
Okay, so even though I like TCU to cover, I have to pick them not to cover?
Yep. There you go.
Loser.
That's exactly what you're doing.
All right. So TCU is minus -3 versus Arkansas, but I have to pick them not to cover.
Because, right, because you're trying to lose.
All right.
That's your goal here. Your goal is to lose. So if we come in here 0-6 with our picks, that's a success. 6-0 is not a success. 0-6 is.
Well, we lose without trying to lose, so why do we have to change the rules?
Because it'll make me feel better.
I think that rhymed.
Yeah.
We lose when we even trying to lose. So why change the rules, fool? Yeah. We lose when we're not trying to lose. So why would you change the rules?
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrell Davis. Bell, you got nothing on me.
Terrell Davis.
Up 12 million.
Joining us next. The only thing I have in common with him is migraines. It's Gio and Jones. Come right back. CBS Sports Radio.